Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
And we're live. So welcome to A Coffee with Karen, cup of positivity with just a sprinkling of woo-woo, where each week my guests will come from a variety of backgrounds, but all of them tending to help people in some kind of way, either from a mental, a physical, or spiritual perspective, or in what tends to be happening more recently, thankfully, is everybody seems to be incorporating all three. So my name, your host, is Karen Roberts, and I suppose my work now really involves helping all these coaches build their business online without being a salesy weirdo. So for me, it's fascinating to hear all their stories, how they got started, how they help people, because a lot of people will misunderstand, especially a lot of the woo-woo. So hopefully this is sort of bringing people in, opening it up to the world of woo-woo. So this might not be just a sprinkling today. We might have a couple of tablespoons here, which is great. I love it. So for the listeners, if you could share with them a little bit about who you are, Kelly, what you do, and share a bit of your story, please.
Yeah, so hi, Karen, and thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure. So yes, so my name's Kelly Brooks, and I've been a tarot reader for a very long time, for over 20 years. And I'll tell you how it happened, because I was at university and I was with my friends, and we walked into a sort of spiritual shop, and there was sort of an altar. And I was a student at the time doing my undergraduate degree. And I said to the guy in the shop, "So what are these?" And he said, "Tarot cards." And I said, "Well, how do I know which one is mine and suits me?"
Welcome to the Coffee with
Speak to You. And I said, he said, "Choose the ones that speak to you." So I said, "Well, which ones are the cheapest?" They speak to me. So anyway, I did find a pack that spoke to me. So I bought them and bought some books with it. But I started on my journey for, you know, tarot reading, and I just started reading for everyone and really got into it. And I had a friend that came to me, and she was engaged, living with her boyfriend. This is still while I was at university. And my cards just said that he was going to finish with her, betray her. It was this breakup in relationship. And I said, "Oh, don't, just ignore it. You know, they're just really silly." The next day she comes in floods of tears. She said, "He's finished with me." And it started happening. So many times I would do readings for people, and then I would start doing readings for myself. And they were coming true. And another annoying thing about it was that sometimes I would do my cards not like the cards I was getting, so redo them, and then I'd get the same cards again. So I started to see that there was something in it. I then met a friend who was a spiritual Reiki master, spiritual healer, Reiki master, and she worked with crystals. And she said to me, "You know, Kelly, you're doing a lot of energy work, and you're not really protecting yourself, you're not opening yourself up." And I think it was the first time I'd really thought about that. And I thought, energy work, because I was just doing these, you know, tarot readings willy-nilly. I was able to do it without the book. I was learning the meanings and things. I thought, right. So I sort of went down this path of, you know, I trained to be, you know, to do Reiki healing. And I started to understand energy. And I think the moment you understand energy, you notice everyone else's energy, vibrations, and frequency. So, and you become very attuned to it and quite sensitive to energy as well. And you are aware when people are draining you, when people are empowering you and nurturing you and uplifting you. So I became really sort of tuned into that. And I think that's probably when I became a bit more psychic. I then went to work overseas in Dubai, and I met a group of people, and we sort of covertly ran a mediumship circle and an angel meditation circle. So I started to train in mediumship, And it occurred to me then that it was the spirits giving me the messages. So wow. I started off as just quite a sort of, I'd fallen into tarot reading, had then sort of pushed me onto this very spiritual pathway where I became very open to energy, open to spirit guides. I started to see spirit guides, loved ones, also angelic entities. I would get messages for people. And I, you know, I'd see all different colours and I became much more attuned to that. As well as starting to see past lives in myself and other people as well. And I think once you switch it on, there's no going back. So finally, I then trained to be a life coach. I did a postgraduate diploma in coaching and mentoring, and actually thought I can't separate the spiritual from the coaching and mentoring. For me, you know, spiritual and emotional health come hand in hand. And I think that transformation, true transformation, is about going really deep within and looking at those sorts of habits that you've got into and really doing a lot of deep critical work and making change from within. And I think that happens on a spiritual level as well.
I mean, what a phenomenal sort of way that your journey has gone, but incorporated everything, starting out so sort of innocently, and then, and like you say, it's the opening it up. So I mean, like, for instance, do you believe that every human is you know, they could do this if they knew how, if they were open? Why do you think, or what do you think happened to get you to become in alignment with this? How did you think it opened up for you?
I think I always had spiritual yearnings. I remember as a child sitting in assembly, and I was about 10, and I felt like this light was shining on me. And I had this sort of religious moment where I thought, can everyone else see this? You know, so I think I was quite, I am quite sensitive to energy and to people. And I can remember going and having a bit of a lie down when I was a child, probably about 10 or 11. My parents had just popped out, come back. And I had my eyes closed and I saw them come back, get out the car. I saw what they were wearing. I shot up, went to the window, and the car wasn't there. And then the car came and I saw that image of what I'd just seen in my mind's eye. And I remember seeing a ghost as a child and being really scared. So I think that I was always quite sensitive to it. And I think when I started on the spiritual journey, I would go to see, you know, mediums, and some of them were quite egotistical. And I felt that they're quite protective of what they've got. And there's almost this sort of ego where it's, you know, godlike, I've got the powers and I tell you what to do. And a lot of the time I'd come away and think, I don't like the advice you've given me, or I felt like I'd just been berated and had a telling off. And I just thought, I don't really think this is how it's meant to be, because we've all got the gift. And actually, the only person that should be making decisions about your life is you. You should be in control. And if you have someone sort of coming along, making you feel really bad about yourself and berating you, you know, I don't think that's the best reading. I think a reading should be nurturing. I think it should make you feel good. Yeah. And I think it should give you some support, some help, some hope. You know, it should be holistic and nurturing. So I sort of grew my philosophy on that I wanted people to go away feeling good.
Right. I mean, it's interesting that it seems to be that probably since they were burning them at the stage, maybe that wasn't a good start for people to learn to start maybe switching things off. But it's almost like we've been conditioned, haven't we, through schooling to, you know, don't be ridiculous, you know, so not listen to ourselves. So people aren't maybe as, or maybe they were intuitive, but they've been told or conditioned to not trust that gut instinct, which is being intuitive, isn't it, really? So do you think that's what's happened for a lot of people? They've just, it's just been almost not beaten out of them, but you know, you shouldn't trust that, and this is the logical, sensible thing, and forget that, that's fairy tale stuff. Do you think that's what
absolutely happens? Because you know, I you know, I love herbs as well, and I think that, you know, what you had was, you had an ideology that came in, you know, with the Romans, etc., for Christianity, a monotheistic religion. So I think prior to that, you would have had paganism, but paganism would have just been, you know, growing, you know, working with herbs, you know, creating medicines and using herbs, what you were growing, being in tune and in touch with that. And a witch would probably have been someone that knew how to work with those herbs, yeah, in order to create herbal medicines. And also would have been in touch with the seasons and, you know, would have known maybe how to hunt, where to get, yeah, the food sources from.
Why, I mean, it's swimming? Just why?
Yeah, and would have said, okay, you've got that rash, I'll go and pick some comfrey for you, or, you know, you've got a sore throat, I'll go and pick some sage and boil it up, and, you know, so there would have been a lot of that, and maybe the alchemy that comes with that, and, you know, working with the cauldrons, with pots, because you just would have been making tinctures and things like that with a pot. So to me, it's quite commonsensical, and with any change in ideology, you just would have got, had the Christians come in, and they would have demonized paganism in order to enforce a new ideology. So I think within that, there was a lot of knowledge that was lost, that was maybe passed down the generations, and the divine feminine as well, you know, so that, you know, losing that sense of the sacred feminine, that is the divine feminine, and the energy, and like all the work around intuition, you know, sort of tacit knowledge. So I think that's always been my take on it, because that's just politics for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it just makes a lot of sense. And so that, and then, yes, all those things would have been lost because people would have been scared to even discuss these things. So over time, over generations, yeah, it's done. We don't talk about this, and everything else has come in, which is such a shame. But yes, then there's people like yourselves who are just, yeah, somehow learned how to, or learned to listen to that, and become and then strengthen that, I suppose, over time, because the more you know and believe and trust, I suppose, the more it's opened up. So for people who, so I have a friend, so we have this, you know, I mean, they think I'm a bit of a, I don't know of my any psychic abilities. I'd love to, but I'm sure they still call me a bit of a witch. But but then her take on life would be very much, she just think it's fate, it's destined. What would be your take on that? Because I have the, no, you choose. I mean, I'm sure we have guides, but what would your take be on things like that?
Well, it's like that story, isn't it? There's a sort of Christian story, which is about, there was a flood, and then the guy prays and he says, Lord, can you help me? And then someone comes along in a boat and they say, you know, get in the boat, and he says, yeah, oh no, I'm waiting for the miracle, and yeah, waiting for, yeah, the Lord to help me, and then he sends a helicopter, something like that. But and then every time he says, no, it's okay, I'm waiting for the Lord to help me, and then at the end, you know, he's destitute, and the Lord says, well, what do you expect? I sent you a boat and a helicopter, and you didn't get in, you know. I think that the Lord works through people, through yes, you know, through in whatever interpretation of source, God. I mean, it's interchangeable. For me, it's all the same thing. You know, it's source, it's so, or for me, all the religions are the same as well, yes, because we're working with that, the same energy, with the same source, the same vibration. So I think that if you're connected, if you ask for help, the help comes. But again, as you said, Karen, you know, I've also had friends that, you know, went to see astrologers in India, etc. and etc., and they were sort of waiting for it to be handed to them on a silver plate, and that's not going to work. The door is there, your guides might show you the door, and you've got to push it. And yeah. I think that you've still got the 80% of hard work, you know, and the 20% of fate, you know, because sometimes you can be dead set on something and, you know, something else, an opportunity just turns up and it comes out of nowhere. You know, it's meant to be. I do believe in that, but that doesn't happen all the time. And there has to be intention. And I do believe in free will. So I'm a sort of existential fatalist. I believe that you have to show the universe that you mean business and that you want something. And you have to be in control of your destiny in the same way that you have to take responsibility for your life and responsibility for your actions. And by that, I mean, learn and grow, you know, learn from yourself and learn. And develop yourself and nurture yourself. And part of that is learning and growing and reflecting. So I think that we have to take responsibility for ourselves as well. So
to some, that could be perceived as, oh, it's fate, it's written. Whereas actually it's more to do with you being in alignment with what it is you actually want. And so then, yeah, they might. People might, you know, perceive that as well. Well, that was my destiny. Well, yeah, I can see the, well, it depends how you look at it sort of scenario, I suppose. But yes, ultimately we get to choose what we want. But yeah, coming into alignment just means we've just got to be open, happy, and have faith, and not in the religious connotation, but just faith in the unknown. It's the unknown is not necessarily the scary place it's made out to be, right?
It is. And I think also if you're open to advice and guidance, it comes. And I think a lot of people, you know, when you look at, you know, if you've got those friends that keep coming to you with the same problem and they're like a broken record, what you can actually see is that all the help is there. It's just that there's some sort of block within them, you know, and they keep saying, oh, so-and-so offered me this. And, you know, so these friends actually probably have a lot of help and support. And if they actually, you know, got out of the fear zone, because a lot of it is fear, isn't it? And fear is an energy as well. It's a very sort of parasitic energy. It's used, you know, by governments as well. And it's very parasitic. And it also sort of entraps you and enslaves you. Fear does a lot of that. It's all of it is energetic. Yeah. And, you know, if you can, you know, I know you would understand this as a coach. It's just about allowing people to free themselves and emancipate themselves in a way. And once you start noticing, you'll realize that all the help is there. It's just that you blocked it. So a lot of it is the fear energy as well.
I think it's, you're right. That's, for me, that seems to be the thing. And it's funny that it seems to be. So, like, I come originally from the fitness world and that side of things, and it's the same thing. But say, I don't know, you know, somebody wants the end result; they want to lose weight, want to get fit. They don't want to whatever they're doing now. They don't want that is the change that they don't want. They want the end result, but they want to keep doing what they're doing. And it seems to be the same thing with life. They might want the result that the change would give them, but they don't want to have to change. And there is this fear. It's the fear of change, I think, more than anything else. And it that just makes the whole thing, you know, all the old sayings that, you know, are so true, you know, false evidence appearing real. The fear itself is what they're fearful of. And it's nothing. And like I say, it's energy. But I suppose, you know, That's all what we are, isn't it? Really?
Because what will you replace those behaviours with? You know, it's like a comfort zone, isn't it? It's like you've been stuck in this, you know, modus operandi for so many years, and what do you replace it with? It's almost like you're naked and exposed, isn't it?
And I suppose it does take, at the end of the day, because we are going throughout our day pretty much on autopilot, which is saving energy. So then if we do want change, it's going to take actually a lot of energy, because we've got to consciously remember to do the things differently. Otherwise, we slip back into old habits and we go on autopilot again. So that, again, going back to energy, it's just fascinating, really, that we think we're in control and we're not.
There's so much else going on around us.
So much else. So why do you think, spiritual practice in general is so important to people's lives?
I think especially, after what we've been through with the pandemic and everything, I think it made people think, we've got things like the Great Resignation, etc., which is actually what I did. I left my permanent job. Because I also, again, I thought about the energetic side of it. I've now got chronic fatigue and I am rehabilitating myself. But I think part of that, I think spiritual healers do, I would classify myself as a healer, but I think we give a lot. We give and we're not. And I know we've talked about this before, Karen, but I'm not very good at accepting help. And I think that if you're in a job that is taking more than it's replenishing, and it's not nurturing you and developing you, and it's just taking an awful lot out of you, I think this was the time when people just sat down and reevaluated their lives. So I think that people are looking at, I think everything has changed. And I think even marketization, I think even, commercial settings have changed now. People are not buying. They're not mass buying in the way that they were before. People want meaning, and they're, they've reconnected. They're growing vegetables and herbs in allotments and in their gardens. People want meaning. And I think that's happening with the spiritual world as well. And I just think people are actually saying, well, I worked and worked and worked. I had all these holidays and this nice car, and it actually didn't make me happy. And now I'm brave enough to say, this is not working, and I think that people are going back to questioning what is happiness, and they're looking at mental health and their spiritual yearnings as well. And I remember listening to a documentary, and I think this is true for me, and this guy said there are two mountains in your life, and the first mountain is about making money, and you get your mortgage and you get your car, and it's just money, 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 and you provide for yourself. But once you overcome that mountain, then you just say, what's next? And the second mountain is spirituality, and it might be charity work and help, getting involved in your local community, or political activism, actually looking at the politics around you, which I'm quite politically involved as well, and just questioning and challenging, and going on protests, etc. But I think the second mountain is all about the other than just the sort of going to work and making the money.
So more the community, again, the help giving back. So it sounds like, in the beginning, because we're young, it's the me. And then you get to stages, actually. And I suppose, again, this is, I suppose, where it all comes back to. I can remember the first book I think I read about this was The Celestine Prophecy. And I suppose that was a fiction story, but trying to explain the energy thing, and that everybody's trying to take energy in their different ways, whether they're being dominating, trying to dominate, or playing the victim, or whether they're trying to, being an interrogator, or being aloof. And that was a really fascinating book for me, because it's everyone's trying to take in the beginning.
Yeah.
And when they finally come to the realization that actually give, and then you'll get back. But then going back to the people that naturally do that, like you and the other healers, and it's having the balance of also being able to receive too, because it's got to be a transaction at the end of the day. You give more, and that I suppose that's karma. The more you give, the more you get back. But everybody's trying to take.
Yeah.
When they realize, stop doing that, give back, and you will be rewarded so much more. Which is, I say to my kids, the you know, when your kids aren't grateful, you realize why gratitude is just the universal, yeah. such an important thing, because you know how it feels when your kid, you've done something really lovely and gone out of your way to make a really special day for your children, and all they do is moan. How does it make you feel? You're like, hang on a minute. I did this. It obviously, when they show you gratitude, you want to give them more. So you can see how it works in your own lives. That's energy, isn't it? The more you give, you feel good. And I suppose for me, that's what it all boils down to. We all want to feel good, but some people are doing it in a way that they try to take things to feel good. And that's not going to work. It's against the...
Yeah, I mean, I did a reading for someone. I was at a spiritual fair and I did a reading for someone, and this guy had done a complete 360, and he said he was a tyrant. You know, he'd had quite an abusive life and childhood, and he was rude, obnoxious, you know, arrogant, domineering. And this was his own description, right. of himself. And he'd had a spiritual awakening, and he just saw the errors of his ways, and just, you know, he got into Reiki. He was having regular Reiki, and it was weird because I knew his Reiki healer. She was also running the spiritual fair, and she'd seen a past life in him, and I saw a past life that was quite similar. So I saw Ashoka, who was an Indian emperor. And he was a tyrant. He used to imprison people, cut their hands off, etc. And then he had this spiritual awakening in the middle of his life, and then wouldn't even hurt a fly. And it's amazing that he, and I said, you've got to think that you have done this in one lifetime, because I do believe in many lives. We've had many lives, many masters. So, and again, it's something I don't say to everyone, because so many people have so many different beliefs. I have upset very Christian colleagues in the past. So it's not my intention, you know, but my personal belief is that I've had many lives, and I go right back to ancient Egypt. Prior to that, you know, I've been, and this whole thing about color, this tribalism, you know, I've lived in all parts
everything.
Of the world.
You've been everything.
All ethnicities, you know, and I think that's wonderful that we, you know, we are just a shell. And I said that to him. I said, but so I do believe in karma. I do practice Buddhism as well now, but I believe that, you know, a lot of the time we have these challenges, and I think traditionally we're programmed to, you know, what used to happen with me is that I'm a catastrophizer. So it's like end of the world. I can't cope. I get very overwhelmed with problems and challenges. And then I get into sort of poor me, and, you know, and I do, you know, get very anxious. But I think my Buddhist practice helped me to see things in a different way. And I don't always do this, but it actually sees that as karma, and it's an opportunity for you to overcome and bank some more karma, really. And actually it's a positive thing, because if you can overcome this challenge, you know, if life is a game, these are the rules. And I think you keep getting the same lessons until you face up to them, you know. So it might be bullying at work, or just, you know, mine is assertiveness. I attract a lot of narcissists. But again, it's because the brighter the light, the darker the bigger the shadow. And I think that they just, you know, so you also have to learn, you know, how to manage other people in this material world, don't you?
It goes back to what you said right at the beginning about the lady that you came across that did the crystals and said to you, you're working with energy, you need to learn how to actually protect. Yeah. To protect yourself. And this is something that, you know, I was never taught. Like I said, I come from the very physical background, you know, I come from the fitness. I was a sports therapist. So yes, I was healing, but from a very physical viewpoint, you know, well, that hurts because you're doing this and that, and, you know, very physical. So even though, you know, I was doing a lot of sports massage, which yes, there's a lot of physical energy, but nothing was spoken about. I didn't learn about the other energy that, you know, you're taking on that, I'd find it, you know, so much more draining giving a sports massage than, I don't know, teaching a body combat class, or because there I would give energy but actually get it back. Mm. Whereas a sports massage, it's just give.
Yeah.
But because I came from that arena, we didn't talk about that kind of energy. And that's obviously what I needed to learn, was to learn how to protect my energy. And I wish, you just think, why isn't this taught in schools? But because you can't see it, or the, you know, the scientists can't measure it, or they probably could. There's probably some machine that could measure. We've got Kalean photography now. You can see aura. We know it's there. But you imagine if children were taught this stuff to be able to protect and understand when their emotions are taking over, you know, the world's problems will be dealt with in a generation.
And I totally agree with you. And there's a lot of stuff that I've really had to do on my own, you know, and I thought, this was the stuff I needed to be taught at school, you know, how to deal with bullies, you know, and you have them all throughout your life in organisations, you know, toxic organisations, how to, you know, how to deal with challenge, how to deal with people who are jealous, how to deal with, you know, criticism and, you know, and challenge and all those skills. Yeah. And often I, you know, because I've got my coaching and mentoring background, I'm also a qualified lecturer as well, teacher. So I've got that sort of rational side of it.
You've got your tools in your toolbox ready.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, for me, it doesn't come top down. It comes bottom up. It has to sit with me, feel right, be intuitive. But I go away and I think about all the transactional analysis that I did, and I will put those tools together, but it will also have to sit energetically and intuitively with how I'm going to manage that person. So I also have to get that balance in terms of, am I happy with the language I'm using to you? You know, I want to be assertive. I don't want to be aggressive. I don't want to be passive. So I struggle a lot with that, but I think that when you're spiritual, you're quite sensitive to it. But, you know, I'm learning more and more, you know, the more you put your foot down with people sometimes, you know, that's also important and powerful. You know, there's nothing wrong with standing in your own power.
Oh, well, it's, you know? I mean, again, it's all going back to the balance. It's just, it is either way, either end of the spectrum, somebody's going to lose out. It's all about the balance, the giving, receiving, I'm very much, I mean, I suppose, so again, I've not come in from maybe the more spiritual, but the self-development route, which in the beginning wasn't doing too much of the woo-woo side, was trying to do more the mental, the thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, so we're getting there, aren't we? We're now incorporating it all. But the whole idea of, you know, not even taking action on anything until you sit with it and actually align with it. So the whole thing about feeling good, you know, feel good and then act. Because if you're not feeling good about something, it's not sitting right with you, and you're probably gonna not respond in the right way. I mean, I would be a great one. I'm quite a bit all over the place and quite reactive. I can react.
Yeah, it's the reactivity, isn't it?
Yes, it's the absolutely. So I could be, you know, joyously happy and then react to something. But I don't stay there. Then I'm but it's the whole think first.
Yeah. And also, react. I mean, I'm a union rep as well, but sometimes I come out of those meetings and I say things like, oh, they were lizards, or, you know, and I forget of it. You know, I forget, you know, my two worlds collide. But what I do, I'm really good at being a representative for someone else, because it's almost like I can separate the emotions. But what I'm teaching myself now is, you know, when you're in really pressured situations, but to stay calm and to speak your peace, to stand in your own power, but to say it so calmly. So, you know, this anger that takes over us, you know, it's the anger and the judgment, isn't it, that's going to make the world blind.
And it doesn't get you anywhere. I used to be pretty feisty, I suppose, in my younger day, and now but again, I suppose it comes from growing and experience. You realize it doesn't get you anywhere, even down to, you know, some would say I've even gone more the other way, because I'm like, it's just not worth it. You're right, it's not always worth it, not worth the energy on you to actually fight that fight, let it go.
Yeah, and sometimes I think you learn there's a lot of conversations you didn't need to have. But I think that you can say the same thing really calmly. It's much more effective. 100%. And you can say it with a smile, and you can have a more of a powerful impact on that. More 100%. Of an impact.
You see it with other people. It's quite a fascinating thing. So for you, so now you've got to the point, it sounds like, from what you're saying, that now you can bring all these fantastic modalities together. You've got the logical side and the life coaching, but then your psychic, you could have got the tarot reading. So
I can tune into people in meetings.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually superpower. You've got to think of a name for you. So how can having, for somebody who's, I don't know, so they're at a, you know, looking for a life coach, so they're maybe at a crossroads in their career, about how could having a reading with you be really beneficial to them?
Well, I do all sorts, an array of readings. I mean, I've done business forecasting as well, where I've just sort of said, right, you know, what's your business? And someone's come to me, they've been like a CEO. And I've done like a 12-month spread, and I've told them about people that, you know, that they employ and all sorts of politics going on. I've predicted the challenges for the business. But I've also done relationships, health. Obviously, I have to be ethical as well, because I have to be responsible for what I'm saying to people. It carries a lot of weight and a lot of power. But, you know, I have given readings that have benefited people, throughout a wide range of sort of industries and disciplines, and it can range from personal to professional. But what I would say is that spiritual life coaching, it's that extra pair of eyes. It's just the same as, you know, I know with your coaching practice, Karen, it's people are coming to you, and you've got an outsider, an extra pair of eyes, just looking at their problem and their situation from an alternative perspective. And, you know, that's why I love any form of coaching. I love going for readings, and I see as coaching and mentoring, because someone's coming in and actually looking at my life. You're stuck in the middle of it. You can't see the wood for the trees, and they're giving you a totally different perspective on it. And also, you know, I am very responsible. So I have given people advice on relationships, work, professional as well, because, you know, I can see it from a more esoteric perspective. And a lot of the time I can bring in guides, I can bring in spirits, or I can tune in to the people around them and just give a different take on it as well.
Wonderful. I mean, how amazing to be able to pull on all these different part. So it really is, you're really offering a complete holistic approach, rather than, like we say, some life coaches, I'm not putting them down in any way, that's the way they've been taught, it is the physical things, you're looking at numbers and da da da. Whereas in corporate, like we say, I think more and more people these days are starting to bring in other modalities, because they have realized that you can't, you know, we're human beings. There is the mental, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual. That's what we are. So just focusing on one area may not work out, because if you're only focusing on that and you're leaving that, it's got to be the whole thing combined. So, you know, how is your spiritual, the whole spiritual side of things for you, changed your life rather than just focusing on the mental or physical?
Yeah, well, I mean, it has, it changes me, and it has changed me. I've learned the hard way. If I don't listen to my intuition, I suffer, because if something doesn't sit right with me right from the word go, and someone once told me I'm like a mirror to people. So I meet people and I just get a sense of who I'm, like a mirror. I can see straight through them. And that is problematic.
I was going to say, does, I bet that brings it, because we don't, sometimes there are things that maybe we don't want to, you know, face about ourselves, but it's what, but again, you're giving somebody exactly what they need. They need to see that.
Yeah, I think the problem is a lot of mediums and healers, we've not had the best childhood, really. And that is often because we, in past lives, we were always, you know, we were persecuted or whatever. There's a lot of past life stuff that we bring into it. But the problem is that we see right through situations and people from the word go. So we might be 2 years ahead of everyone else. So I'm just thinking, I don't want to hang out with you. You're making me uncomfortable. Why do I feel angry? It's your anger. So there's the transference, the counter transference that I learned when I did my coaching. But there's all that energy, all that stuff, the energetic stuff, the psychic stuff that you're picking up on people. And a lot of the time, you know, there's certain groups of people or a couple of people, and I can't be around them. So then things generally come out and transpire, but you're out always ahead of the game. And often I see things, I know things. You know, when I was a child, I remember I said to a friend, you know, when you were a child, did you daydream and you just, and then it happened? And my friend said, no. I thought, oh, okay. I was always a bit clairvoyant. So I always know what's going to happen and how things are going to play out. So I think what you've got to remember is you're probably 2 years ahead or, you know, 12 months ahead of everyone else. So I've just learned to accept that now. I have to honour my feelings and emotions. The energy doesn't lie. I'm not imagining it. It's just that I'm seeing things from a very different perspective to everyone else. And I think that I'm seeing them in a different dimension, and there's more of a holistic take on what I'm seeing, and I'm seeing it from different aspects. So I've learned to accept that now. I don't fight it. Yeah, that's why it makes me out to be a bit quirky, a bit of a loner. I've just accepted that because that's who I am and that's my journey. So I do honour that now, and I will often do things in a very different way to everyone else, and I will step back a lot of the time, etc., because I can see what's coming.
Right. I've got a daughter like that. it's funny, isn't it? I've always said, so I've got two girls, and I'd always say, oh, you know, the younger one, she's an old soul. She's been here before. Whereas my older one's definitely a baby. Bless her.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love them both equally, but they're very, very, very different. But my younger one is very much a bit of a loner because she just, again, she just picks up on people. Mm. She's not falling for it. She'd rather be on her own than be in the fake arena, as it were. However, so I think I need to strengthen those things. Because she wasn't the story. My elder daughter was a little bit in fairyland, and she would come out with stories and you knew it wasn't true. So then when the younger one did come out with something, you'd be like, oh. You know, she said she would see she would see ghosts quite often, and then she'd see somebody in a trilby hat. And when we came back, because she was born in Portugal, we moved back about 10 years ago, found out that my grandfather had died and he always wore a trilby hat, and it was like, oh, wow. So we have, you know, so we've never, you know, made her fright. She wasn't frightened by it or anything.
Yeah.
And now she has said, because I had a friend who does tarot reading, so she wants to go. So I think I'm going to, if she wants to go down that route, I would like to nurture it, because I do think she's obviously attuned to it. It's quite a fascinating thing for me. I'm not. I mean, I'm all about energy, or I just don't know how to. So I am all about energy, but I have a little device that, because I don't trust my own. I'm sure I can find
but
a
I
way
think to... I think we're all healers, and we've all got we're all light healers, all of us, absolutely everyone. And you know, with your coaching, that is healing, because you've developed those skills for a reason, because you genuinely want to bring about transformation and change.
It would be nice to be a little bit more in tune, a little bit of help. So for the listeners out there, so, you know, what is it, what types, because I know you do so much, so what do you have to offer people?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm very flexible, but I can, you know, sit down with someone and give them a holistic reading that will, you know, I will listen to them, so they could have a very general reading, you know, if they're very open, or it could be that they come to me with a specific problem. And I can really help them to view that situation holistically, alternatively, and I can bring in spirit guides. I can look at the energetic positioning of that situation. I can understand agendas and motivations from the others around them. I can be that extra pair of eyes, but it's coming from a very intuitive, esoteric space. And don't ask me how I do it. I don't know, but it's just, we've all got
secret. Very secret.
Well, I suppose I've tuned myself in like a tuning fork, or I've become a conduit, and I channel it now. It's funny because my partner's an engineer, but he always got it when I told him. You know, he's so open to it because he sees it as energy, vibration, and frequency. And he said, well, you're like a radio station, you're like a transmitter. You've just switched yourself on.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? So that's considered as that one side of the brain.
Yeah.
That very logical. But again, going back to what you said right at the beginning, again, you know, with the religion thing, we're all talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
We're just naming it different things.
Yeah.
You know, electricity. Do you know how electricity works? Even if you're an engineer, no, you don't. You just have to have faith that it works, since there are laws to it. As with, and again, going back to what I loved what you said right at the beginning about this, the problem with, you know, and again, I don't want to upset anybody here, but with the religious connotations of everything, everybody's waiting to be saved. They're waiting for miracles. There are laws of the universe. You can't. No, it's not going to happen. Mm. There's a law of gravity. Even a tiny innocent baby, if it's going to fall from God isn't going to save it. It can't. There are laws of the universe. And as awful as it is, certain things, it is what it is. But God, source, energy, whatever you want to call it, can work or does work with and through us. We have got to do the thing, and that seems to be, so your other half is that side of it, and can see that it works with these certain rules, and that's what you are, you're in tune with it, so you can see that. Whereas unfortunately, some of the, it's almost this, you know, God loves me more than everybody else said. No, it's, we're all the same.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the wars and the politics that we deal with is because there's an illusion that we're different and we're not.
Yes, and aren't we better than you? And you're, our way is better than your way. So we've got to stop your way. No, just, if you're happy doing it your way, carry on.
And I remember growing up, and there were certain, because I'm in the Midlands, and there were certain parts of Birmingham and you didn't go to, and then I became an ESOL teacher, and I actually went to the other side of Birmingham, to a really diverse, multi-ethnic, multicultural environment. And I thought, I'm going to find out for myself. And I had a fantastic time, you know, and I just opened myself up to actually, you know, I'm actually going to meet some people who are, you know, who are not like the people that I grew up with. And I think that once you know, when I taught ESOL, you know, I was teaching Sikhs, Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, monks, all sorts, you know. And the problem is, there's no problem. And I think that, you know, I think spiritual practice, it's a little bit like coaching. It will work on a very deep fundamental level, and you'll shift. There will be shifts and it will shift your vibration. And it's all about positive psychology, isn't it? And like you said, be much more, once you realize that love is infinite and endless and boundless, you know, you're never alone, you're never lonely, because you can't be, because there's this infinite, ongoing, endless source of love that you, if you just channel it, you realize that there's so much abundance and there are miracles out there. And it's all the stuff that the hippies did in the 60s, you know, when they went off traveling around India, and this is what they tapped into, the love energy.
Absolutely. And I think that seems to be, you know, with everybody, you know, so many people suffering with depression and anxiety. And I find it so frustrating because I think that it's so unnecessary. If they only knew this, if, you know, if they were aware of this, that there is no, and it does seem to be that they've somehow, through whatever life experience or what they've gone through, they've found a way to cut themselves off from this. And only if they were just sort of pointed in the right direction, there would be no need for all this suffering. And I do find it very sad that they hadn't been given the tool. Because then if you're not aware of it, you're not aware of it. That doesn't make you a bad person, does it? It just means somebody didn't tell you.
And it's the asking, because, you know, we've all been, I mean, I've been through really dark times as well, but you have to believe that you can heal yourself. And I'm totally non-judgmental. You go and do what you need to do. If you need to take antidepressants, whatever. You know, I'm into herbal healing as well, but
sometimes you know, sometimes you need something now.
Yeah.
And a quick fix.
And the Native Americans believe that, actually. They just believe whatever works, do it. But I think that ultimately, if you understand that you're a spiritual being and that you can connect to this love, divine energy of love, you know, God is love, basically, you can get yourself through really difficult times, which I have. And the funny thing was that when I was going through difficult times, I'd sort of ask the universe and I'd say, please send the right people to help me. And it was never the people you expected. And so it was like you'd have your immediate friends and you sort of ring them up and they didn't answer, say, oh, text you, I'm busy or whatever. And you know, the go-to people. And it would just be someone that came totally out of the blue, like the Virginian they'd ride in. Yeah. And like, they'd, you know, give me all this information or help or support and then just ride off and disappear. But that's how the universe works. And there's times when
you've got to ask. You asked.
And there's times when I give to other people because I know it's my turn. It's my job. I've been brought in and I'm not the sort of the standard go-to person. But there's times when I know it's my job to do my bit spiritually as well. And it's the paying forward, isn't it, that we all have to do.
Well, you know that just a simple... you know, walking along and some, you know, I don't know, old man doing his shopping, he's on his own, he's probably lost his wife. Even just a simple smile and
a chat, you know, a five-minute chat. Yeah, just, you know.
Just, you know, that's probably his only day out that week. At the beginning of the lockdown, my ex had a cab company, so I drove a cab. Do you know what? I loved it. And I tell you what I loved the most were picking up the old dears, and it probably was their one trip out to the shops.
Yeah.
And they just wanted a little bit of a chat. And it was nice to be able to leave them. And you've probably lifted their, might not.
And also, you know, they're safe with you as well. Yeah, you're going to carry their bags. They're safe with you.
Really enjoyed it. Sometimes that's all that would have lifted their day. And, you know, it didn't cost anything, and bless them, they'd always be the ones that would want to tip me. Go no, because you know you'd help them in with.
I'd love a driving job. I think that's a spiritual thing as well. It's like Deborah Harry, isn't it? She loves driving.
Really,
I love driving.
It's so easy. I think, why is everybody moaning about this? It's the easiest thing in the world. But yes, isn't that funny? But so you are. It is the knowing. We get so, you know, and I. You know, I can be a bit like this, you know, a bit, you know, independent. I don't need any help. And it is sometimes hard to ask for help, even if you need, I don't know, there's some kind of, it is some kind of ego thing going on there.
Yeah.
And knowing that, well, that again, that all the old sayings come into it, isn't it? Ask and it's given. I mean, it's just, but you've got to ask.
Yeah.
People are, we, not everybody's like you, Kelly, psychic. Not everybody's psychic. So you've got to ask.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
But so, yeah, so I suppose you're going to get a very different experience, but it's probably the antithesis to corporate, you know. But you, I think my readings are for anyone and everyone, and I get a lot of males as well now, you know, a lot of builders, people from all walks of life, which I think is fantastic.
Brilliant.
You know, non-traditional.
And is that in the last,
you know,
2 years? Is that you're saying you've noticed a difference specifically?
Even the last five, seven years.
Oh, okay.
Men coming from, you know, really sort of masculinist, you know, industries. Oh, I've got my own building company. And they'll just come, and because they just want a different take on things. And, you know, even if you're in the corporate world and you're a big boss, even, you know, even you need some help sometimes. And it's an alternative perspective. And all I can say is people are satisfied and they always come back. So I think that...
It's working. How do they find you? To the listeners, I mean, it depends on where you're watching this. We'll have all Kelly's links. But if you're just listening on the radio or on the podcast, how would they get in touch with you, Kelly?
So I know you've got the link to my Facebook, which is Lotus Love 383 Spiritual. So I've got my Facebook page. So probably get in touch with me via that.
Can you repeat that again? Because
Lotus Love 383 Spiritual. So and
Lotus Love 383 Spiritual.
Yeah. And so I know I've given you the link, but yeah, and they would find me that way. But people always come back, and I think that, you know, it's a different space. We don't have to be ultra competitive, ultra, you know, we all, it's the terrors of performativity, isn't it? We're all expected to perform like monkeys. And, you know, what does that actually mean? And sometimes we need to just be and sit with ourselves and look at your problem and your situation in a just a completely different perspective.
Yeah. But again, it's some kind of, somehow we've been conditioned. We've all been brought up that if we do that, we're being lazy, or if we do that, you know, that's somehow bad. But, you know, we've got to go, go, go. We've been brought up with this whole, you know, you've got to work hard for your money. You've got, what man has taught us.
Yeah.
And actually, again, the yin and yang, you know, if you're giving loads, you need to actually recuperate. And we need this, again, it's all just about getting into balance. Yeah, work hard when you're, you know, if it's your time to work hard, but know that equally, simply being, get out in nature and get all these things are, well, it's all phenomenal advice. Thank you, Kelly, for your time. And I think it's brilliant that you do offer really everything, because, you know, and I suppose this is what this show was about, there, you know, it started off with a sprinkling of woo, and we're sort of, you know, increasing it as we go, but, because a lot of people have come from the corporate and that headspace of, you know, that is too far that way, and just sort of bringing them over, just giving them a little bit of an intro. Well, you know, it's not going to do you any harm to just
I mean, I've had readings where people come and they're trying to catch me out. I'm not going to tell you anything. You know, I'm going to see how. And I've actually developed the confidence now just to say, this isn't for you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, like, I know you said earlier that you think, you know, you are getting stuff from spirit, but also, you know, I used to think, oh, if they're reading part, maybe they are just reading their energy as energy rather than what they're telling. So if they're going to be a closed shop, you're not going to get anything from them. It's not from their words. You're feeling, interpreting.
They just close down, and it's a game, and it's not how you do a reading. And I don't have to prove myself to people.
No.
But, you know, it's like a test and a silly game and I'm being caught out. And it's not how it works.
I suppose the energy that you're giving off, if that is, you know, the energy you give off, that's what you're going to get back. You can tell that if they don't change their energy, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
You're helping them. So, yeah, once again, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Polly.
Lovely speaking to you. And to the rest of the listeners, I will be back next week with a Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.